end of the year. So thank you, everybody, for attending my end of the year synopsis of how the Browns played this year. I would tell you it was invaluable for us this year in setting a foundation that we think that's going to put our team in the direction that we want to be able to achieve sustainable success. I guess the simple term for me, I would say, is the word it was necessary. You know, we went through this year, the things that we embodied and the things that we kind of accomplished this year brought us back to seeing the good and the bad. There's positives and negatives. I would tell you that there's two sides to this season. We started in a direction where there were some positives early, and then there were some negatives late. I think those are obvious, and I think in that instance, we've learned a lot about ourselves. We learned a lot about our culture. We learned a lot about that foundation that we're trying to lay, and it's not perfect right now, and it's going to require us sanding some edges and making some adjustments, and we recognize that. I would also say that it's we're not obviously not happy with how things finished up at the end of the season. Our goals are to sustain winning over a long period of time here, and we fell short of that goal this year. I'd also like to say that, you know, from my point, I think it'd be a discredit to the players, the staff, the coaches, everyone that was involved in this thing, not to really requisitely look at the positives that were accomplished this year. You know, bringing meaningful football to Cleveland in the month of December is, I think, something we should hang our hats on and be positive about, as well as the ability to start to establish a culture of creating accountability. The next man up philosophy, I think, that Pet talked about during the course of the year was important for us. And moving this foundation and this franchise forward towards our goals at the end of the day is really what we're focused on here. So there's a lot of things that we really want to make sure we get across. I think that from Coach Pettine, Jimmy Haslam, Alex Shiner, myself, all believe that at the end of the day, this is about creating a culture where we consistently win. And at the end of the day, we find a way to bring championships to the city of Cleveland. I would tell you that the words don't mean anything. I'm not a big word guy. It's all about action. I think that's really where we're at in time, and I think that's for everybody. I think that's what all of our players and our coaches and our staff and everybody associated with this organization want to see. That's what our fans want to see. It's about action. I do think he can develop into a solid starter in this league, yes. I think that the sample size that's available is, like you said, small, and I would say to that end, we all got to be patient. Like, I think there's an opportunity for the guy to make changes, and it's up to him if he's going to make those changes. But I think the talent is in his body to accomplish that. I would say there's a notation and there's an idea of what Johnny is. Some of it's true, some of it's not true. There's pieces that everybody comes to understand because that's what gets reported. And there's pieces that people don't get to understand because that's never reported. So I'll tell you that there's good and bad, and sometimes we hang our hats on the bad a little too much. But there's good in there, and there's things that he can hang his hat on to move forward with. I do think that he cares. I do know he's competitive. At the end of the day, I'll be frank and candid and say that there's it's obvious, but, you know, he does need to grow up some, and that maturity issue is there. But beyond that, I do think that there are redeemable qualities that can help him improve himself over time. The same things he showed me in college. I think he can be consistently accurate with the football. I do think he has mobility to escape the pocket. And I do think that his desire and his competitiveness give him an edge that not a lot of players have. Yes, like I said, I think the foundation is heading in the right direction, but it's not perfect. This is the first year of an organization moving forward, and there's going to be times when things aren't exactly how you want them, and you got to make those adjustments and those changes as things move forward. That'll be a conversation that we have between the staff and the coaches. We'll make that determination, and then if it does happen, it'll happen in time. It won't happen today. I would tell you that we're constantly in search for guys that we think improve our roster. So I would say all of the above. He'll be given every opportunity to contribute and compete, and he'll also have to compete against guys that, you know, could be draft choices. They could be free agent selections. They could be any number of stones that we overturn to try to find the right guy to bring in here to help improve our roster. We got to continue to improve our roster. We got to continue to try to find guys that that win those one-on-one battles. Football is the ultimate team game in my mind, but it's made up of a collection of individuals. And those individuals have to be able to, again, adhere to and prosper in the next man up philosophy. You never know when your name's going to be called. And regardless of the injuries. I know there was a lot made of Alex Mack going down, and I won't minimize that because I think the guy's a really, 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 really good football player. In that instance, though, he's just one piece of a puzzle, and the puzzle's got to work in unison in order for it to be successful. Picks may be authentic. Everybody was allowed to leave here yesterday. They'll be back next week. Everybody was given the first several days to detox from the season, and people will be back in town starting Monday. So assuming he is in South Beach and he's down there, that's his right to have right now, and he'll be back assuming that that's what happens. I think Brian Hoyer did some good things for us this year, and at the end of the day, his future is in his hands. He's a free agent. Now that the season's over, when we get to the new league year, he'll be a free agent. And he has decisions that he needs to make. I'd say both parties are right. I'd say if he wants to be back, that leverage is definitely in his court to make that happen. Assuming that we can agree to that deal and what that deal looks like, then that opportunity is available. If we can't come to that agreement, then he obviously would not be back. So I think that there's a lot of work to be done in that regard. And I would say from a business perspective, people don't always see eye to eye. Your value for how you see something versus my value of how I see it doesn't always come together. And that's how things don't happen. So that's something probably for Brian's agent and I to work out. And Brian will have obviously a lot of input in that. And we'll have the conversations as to how we think Brian can help our roster moving forward in the next upcoming week or so. All right, for the first 9 games, absolutely. I mean, he was credible, functional, gave us a chance to win games. We won some games. And again, at the end of the day, football's a team game. And, you know, I think way too often we make a lot out of the fact that this one guy was the impetus behind success. I think when you really break down the game, there's a lot of reasons that teams win and lose ball games. It's not always the quarterback's fault that he won or that he lost. It's not always his fault that he lost or he won. So as I look at it, I think it's pretty simple. A guy's got to be given the chance to compete. And if he competes and he does the things that are necessary to help us win games, then that's generally enough. Again, I'm a believer that this whole notion that you got to have this one guy that's the silver bullet is a myth. I think it's like trying to catch werewolves and vampires. They just don't exist. You know, I'm a big believer in it's a team sport. And when we combine the requisite skill sets necessary to let guys have success, we have that success. And we saw that earlier this year, that we were missing certain key components that everybody thought were high-value targets and assets for us. But we played team football, and as a result of that, we were able to have success. Again, no one person causes or derails anything. You know, we as a group have to overcome whatever obstacles we have, and we didn't do that late in the year. And so I wouldn't put that on Josh. I wouldn't put that on any one individual. Okay. Excellent. I like Pet. I think he's a really good coach. I think that he's very deliberate with our players. He's very deliberate with his messaging. He's very aware and astute of the things that need to happen and transpire, and he carries that message forward on a daily basis. And I think the guys in the locker room respect him. I think they play their hearts out for him, and I think he was absolutely right in his comments the other day about the respect necessary for those guys that went out on the field on Sunday and tried to get us a victory in Baltimore. And granted, we came up short, but our guys played hard, and I think that's a true testament to who Mike Pettine is. Yeah, I think we all have things to work on. I think that's part of what we're building here is that there is a level of self-accountability. I think we constantly look at each other and question, man, what did you do wrong? Because we fix those things that are wrong, we'll get better. It's not about accentuating the positives all the time for us. It's about really, truly being critical and looking at the negatives for what we've done wrong this past year and trying to grow those. I would say undetermined. I think 16. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a lot of pieces to the puzzle that came in, and there's guys that contributed. There's pieces that played and played well. There's pieces that didn't play. And so the sample size for some of those players is not great enough for anybody to say this is great, this is bad, this is whatever. Again, I'm more into the let's take our time and see where guys develop into. And at the end of the day, some guys contributed right away, other guys didn't. And I think that's a part of the process. We've already done it. We've already changed staff. We've changed our processes. There's a lot of things that you inherit the first year you get it. And so after the draft, we made certain changes. We made a lot of changes. We added a lot of experience to our group this year. And we changed our processes. And we changed how we do things. And we changed how we look at the players. And we've gone to some tried and true methods of some of the older scouts that we brought in because that experience matters. And so moving forward, it will be different. There will be changes to it. I would tell you that there was there were obviously things that he needed to work on, and you know those things coming in. There's also the feeling of, you know, this guy's on the right path and the right track. Did he have it? Again, like most young kids, they have some type of issue all the time they're in college? Absolutely. But that information also stated that he had kind of turned the corner, was moving in the right direction. And so you do your research, you hang on it, and I think the easiest way to put it is there is an inexact science to this thing, but you know certain pieces, and you would hope and think that you can coach and move guys past some of those small issues that they had while they're in college. I know a lot of people want to stick that on Jimmy, but for the world to hear, Jimmy Haslam did not make that call. He didn't try to influence the decision. He didn't try to push it in a different direction. He did none of those things. Again, I think being ready and kind of what you assume that is going into it is different afterwards. I believe had you asked him prior to the game if he felt he was ready, he would have said, yes, I'm ready. And then after experiencing it for the first time in an NFL regular season game, where people game plan you and set up differently, I would tell you that his feelings probably changed. So it'd be interesting to understand what his mindset was prior to that. But I would assume in my conversation with him, because I had that conversation with him prior to the game, he felt like he was ready. But the exposure of what happened to him during the course of that game obviously changed his mindset. Necessary to continue to move the franchise forward. I think we brought meaningful football. We were playing meaningful football in December in Cleveland for the first time in I don't know when. We had a chance to win our division. We were competing. We played it right down to the last game, and that's what we want to continue to do. Now, we got to find a way to win those games. I think there was one game this year where I felt like we didn't look like we belonged, and that was the second Cincinnati game. We got throttled pretty good. Beyond that, we played in every football game, and our guys stepped up. They played well, and they demonstrated they were a credible NFL football team. And to move that forward next year, we got to find a way to win those close games. I mean, maybe 5 or 6 games this year decided for us in the last minute of the game, maybe 2 minutes. So that's a product of trying to, like, now you got to figure out how to win. We're there. We're at the doorstep. The question is, can we continue to advance the football and move it across the line? That's going to be his lot in life. So regardless if he's out drinking Boss water and somebody sees him somewhere, they're going to take a picture and tweet it, and it's going to be relayed as though this guy's out and he's doing whatever. That's his lot in life. That's where he's at. The reality is he's going to have to become a hermit if he didn't want people to take pictures of him. So I doubt he's going to do that. But I think we also got to take with a grain of salt that every time this guy is somewhere, it doesn't mean he's up to no good or it's negative. So we have to be conscientious that we just want him to do the things that are necessary for him to be an NFL quarterback. I don't know if it's a distraction. It's a distraction when people allow things to be a distraction. If just because I'm out and I'm somewhere and somebody takes a picture of me with my wife or me with my kids or me whatever, doing wherever I'm at, doesn't mean that I'm actually doing anything negative. And everybody's allowed to have a private life. I believe that. I think that yeah, I'm a public figure. I'm in the public light now, but it doesn't mean I can't go and, you know, golf or, you know, sit on the beach or do whatever I do in my own time. So, again, for us or for me, I think it really points to the fact of we need him to do the things that it takes to be an NFL quarterback. Doesn't mean that he can't, you know, have a private life or do the things away from football that he enjoys. But, again, to some degree, it's what he's going to have to deal with. It's who he is, and people are going to take pictures and look at him and tweet about him, and we have to deal with that circumstance if he's going to be a part of this team. I think the questions is that – that's my point, is that he's going to have to come in here and demonstrate that he's ready to be an NFL quarterback. And as long as he takes the necessary steps to do those things and to perform on the field and make himself accountable to his teammates and the organization, then that's a whole nother conversation. I just completely disagree with measurables. I think that everybody makes a big deal out of being 6'5 or 6'4 or whatever that height precursor may be, but I tell you Russell Wilson's not tall. I tell you Jeff Garcia wasn't tall. I tell you there's a lot of players that are – Mike Vick wasn't tall. I mean, there's a lot of guys that have demonstrated they can play and they can win and be successful in this league that are not tall people. And so, yeah, the stature means nothing to me. I would tell you that to answer the first piece of that, yes, the goal is to build a team that you I use the word lighten the load to the quarterback doesn't have to carry everything. To that tune, you asked about Jordan Cameron. I would say that he had a interesting year. I mean, he battled some things this year. Wasn't as productive as he was the previous year. to that tune. I know in a lot of respects he has some personal disappointment behind that, but it doesn't diminish kind of what he is or who we think he can be. The reality moving forward is that we're going to drive for competition at every spot. We're going to look to improve every player. And it sounds like it's non-attainable, but I think the goal is to constantly try to look for players that can improve your roster. Pushing competition at every spot. Everybody's got to compete for their job. Nobody gets handed it to them. And as long as we continue to operate in that philosophy and we're not afraid to move forward with the next man up, then it forces guys to perform in a way that is going to improve our football team, because that competition is what truly drives the best out of people. I probably don't have a stance or shouldn't have a stance, but I'm pretty sure they probably will contest it. And, you know, from our perspective, it is what it is, and we'll deal with that through the right channels. Again, I know I'm old school in certain respects, and I came through with coaches like Dan Reeves and Ray Rhodes and other guys that coached back in the 80s and 90s. And one of the things I was told when I was a young player in this league is that your best ability may be your availability. And we tend to believe that here to some degree, where, you know, you've got to be accountable to yourself, to others, and to this organization. I think Jimmy made that clear after the game. I think Pep made that clear yesterday. I guess I'm just kind of putting the period on it today. I'm not going to say that. I mean, I would tell you that I strive in every respect to give every guy the opportunity to achieve success. And I'm not going to diminish, talk bad, or not try to help someone achieve the end goal, which is to get it right. And I'll take it as far as I can get it. And then whenever that determination is made that this person is done with the Browns, we'll make that determination then. But every player I will stand by, I will work with them, and I'll make sure that they get the best, whether it's help that they need, whether it's assistance, whether it's opportunities. I will fight tooth and nail to get those guys those things. And then when they demonstrate that they're either unsavable or we can't help them anymore or they don't want the help, then we'll move on. And it's different for every single guy. I like them. I actually like all of them. I mean, I like Sean Drawn, who we brought in late and contributed on special teams. I like Glenn Winston, who nobody really got a chance to see carry the ball, but I think he's got some upside to him. And I think the two that everybody likes to reference are Crow and West. And to that tune, I would tell you that they both have a chance to be successful players in this league and have the upside to carry enough of the load for us. Again, I think that, you know, from a variety of perspectives, all guys got to learn that it's not what it used to be. Like, you have a lot of guys that come to NFL teams as they were the man. Just use Terrence West as an example. This guy's been given the football 25, 30 times a game from the time he was a kid until this year. And I think it's hard for guys to realize, okay, you know what? I'm not going to get it 25 or 30 times. And so there's some maturity there with him saying, okay, look, I'm going to get 18 carries. I'm going to get 17 or 13 or 15, whatever that number is going to be, and just make the most of them. And then in the tune of that, knowing that the way you get more and more opportunity is to be better and better in ancillary situations. Are you really good in pass pro? Do you understand the intricacies of the game? And as guys kind of get those little nuances of how to get more and more play time, they get better. And so I would say the same is true with Crow, is that he had his issues at Georgia, all well documented, it is what it is. And then he went to a different school and had his chance to have a lot of success. And then now he's trying to build in to find out, what does that look like? What's the right how many carries am I going to get? And I hate to say this, it's almost like being in an all-star game and everybody wants to take the shot. Everybody wants the ball. And when you have a young team, that's kind of what a young NFL team goes through, is everybody wants the ball. Everybody wants to be the guy to make that opportunity happen. And guys got to learn that we got to share to succeed. And the more they get that sharing under their belt, the better we all become. Not very. I mean, I hate to say it. I know everybody says I'm stubborn or I'm going to be obstinate about this wide receiver position, but I just think that at the end of the day, an offensive lineman affects every single play of the game. A wide receiver may touch the ball 10 times if he's having a great day. So I just like the idea of, let's get the guys that affect the game all the time, and let's try to get those guys and make a difference for our football team. Doesn't take away from any wide receiver in the game, because I think there's a ton of them that are really good players and they affect the game. Again, the rookies this year, phenomenal. Great job by a lot of those guys. And they were high drafted or high selected oriented players on our board. and I know I said I wouldn't talk about our board, but to that tune, they were high there as far as how we valued like what they were capable of doing. But again, can you piece it together? I think you most certainly can with guys that have traits that that translate to the type of offense you want to run. Nope, I would not. I would not hesitate to take whoever I thought could help this football team and move us forward. The goal is to win. It's not to draft any particular person or player. It's simply to win. If we win, that's all that matters. And this is not my, it's not mine. So I will give credence to Bill Koharik, who taught me this. But win is what's important now. And that's what we're going to focus on at every turn, is what's important now. And it's what you do during the course of the season. When you have a guy go down, you pop the next guy in. And you get to the offseason, you try to plan and create for what's important now. And what is important now is truly identifying who's on this team that we should keep around and who's not. And then to that tune, how do we improve our roster moving forward? And then how do we draft to add to what we either garnished in free agency or what we lost? So that's the steps we'll take here coming up. That's for you guys to decide. I mean, from my perspective, it's it goes right back to what I said initially, which is that we got to give guys time to do what they do. And when the guys don't do it in time, then you make those determinations. But when guys show that they can do it at a certain point in time, like Pet alluded to yesterday, it comes down to being consistent. And with lack of consistency is what? Inconsistency. And then you see those blemishes and those warts, and whether they show up week 2 or week 17, they obviously exist. And so to that tune, we got to try to get guys to, like Pet said, that 90th percentile where they're constantly doing the consistent thing right.